was that? Are you drinking a can of soda through the side of your mouth like Popeye?
Two things. It's pop, not soda. Shut up. Okay, it's one thing when people who actually, you know, I can understand the geographical thing where people say soda. You're from Eastern Ohio.
What sound does it make when you open up? It doesn't go soda. It goes pop.
Yeah, it pops. Thank you, Jeff. Too much. I forgot what it was. It's April.
Is it?
Shut up. Okay. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for April 9th, 2010. This is Michael Minotti, joined by my brother Edge Guy.
Hello.
And our good friend Jeff Grubb.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jeff. I was just on the Pixel Revolt podcast. No, that's fine. But yeah, this is like poetic here, symmetrical.
Yeah,
I was on your show. You're on my show.
The home
show.
And away, or home at home.
And away. not home and away. I'm thinking something else. I'm thinking of that movie with the birds. What's that called? Fly Away Home. There's apparently there's a scene where the guy's watching wrestling and the Undertaker's on the screen.
Oh, so now it's your favorite movie ever.
I wasn't saying that. I only saw that one clip. I did something.
I did not follow. Is that on TV right now? Is that what you're saying?
Something on my desk.
No. Not on TV right now. I wouldn't watch TV.
What?
Podcast.
I don't understand how we got to fly away or whatever. Right. Like I'm not.
By the way, AJ, two outs. Oh,
I was gonna say.
Oh, wait a second.
Wait.
Game.
Yes.
Game. Tribe wins. Anyways, welcome to our show, everybody. That was the Cleveland Indians were playing the baseballs.
That doesn't mean anything to your audience.
I'll turn this off now. All right. Welcome to our show, everybody. This is going to be great, I promise, despite what you may think right now. we're going to start off with the news. Do we have news?
Oh, we got news.
Oh, good. Thank God. I was worried that nothing might have happened for once. then we'll do the quiz. Then I got either or set up. So there will be scoring. It'll be good times. Jeff, have we had you do either or yet?
No, I don't think so. I don't even remember the last one. The last one was a blur. So maybe we did. Let's just say no.
Yeah, just say no then. This was Jeff's first either or. Maybe not. All right. So after that, our weekend gaming. Talk about the releases, and that'll be the show. So let's get started.
Okay. So today, or yesterday, Thursday, Apple had their big iPhone OS 4 press conference. Everyone say, ooh.
Fart.
Ooh.
Okay. So, first of all, as you know, one would assume, the conference started off with them talking about how many iPads they've sold, how many iBooks they sold, and blah, blah, blah. Then we got into the actual OS 4 features. The big exciting deal, I suppose, is multitasking is coming to the iPhone. At long last, hooray, hooray. The way it works, at least as far as I can gather from this press conference, is when you quit out of an app, it will kind of suspend it
and throw it
off into some side memory somewhere. And also, if you want something to kind of run in the background, it takes advantage of the already running APIs in the iPhone. So, for example, like if you had the iPod part of the iPhone playing, it's using the music API. Well, now, like Last.fm or Pandora can use that same music API to continue playing in the background.
This isn't going to work very well with the 3GS, I imagine.
It doesn't work at all with the 3G, actually.
Oh, I think so. I think there would not be enough processing power.
No. This is just going to be for the 3GS, the multitasking at least. And presumably whatever new iPhone comes out this summer.
Oh, is there one coming out?
There's nothing for sure, but come on. They've done one once a year for 3 years.
When
do
they usually announce?
They're releasing one for Verizon, too.
In May.
So.
Yeah, see, that rumor comes up every March. Maybe it will.
Wasn't that confirmed in, like an actual like periodical or something, like Time, didn't they? I don't know. You're right. It's probably just another rumor.
Right.
Time's not legitimate.
Yeah.
Get with the time.
It was Times with a Z or something like that. I don't know.
Was it time.com? I might believe that if it's on the internet.
It was at TMZ. I'm sorry. I get those mixed up.
Oh, okay. iPhone for Verizon confirmed. The other big pillar that they showed as far as interest to gaming is Game Center. If you played any iPhone games that use a different social network, you know, like you have Plus Plus and OpenFaint and a million other different things. This is Apple making a centralized gaming network that is, you know, it's universal to any app that wants to use it. And it'll have, you know, friends list and game invites and achievements even. I also find it weird that everyone just straight up calls them achievements. You'd think, like, they'd have to call it something else, but...
I think it's getting to that point now where that's just what they are.
It's like Band-Aid.
Yeah, Band-Aid well, like, and Kleenex.
I think Steam just calls them achievements.
Yeah, they're Steam achievements. These will be iPhone.
Blizzard just has achievements now.
Yeah, that's true.
I think everyone just kind of accepts, you know. Okay, good job, Microsoft. You came up with that one. We'll give it to you.
Of all the companies that make these existing social networks, the only ones really talking right now about it are the guys from NG Moco who do Plus Plus. And apparently they had the foresight to assume Apple would do this eventually. And I guess they've been kind of behind the scenes shifting their corporate structure to prepare for this day. So they're cool with it. They're actually kind of excited, they say. The other people like OpenFaint and everything, they're kind of not answering questions right now. So they're probably like, God damn it, we're screwed. another big revelation is folders, tapping back into the days of Windows 3.1 and Mac OS 4 or something. I don't really know the Mac history. Anyway, you can now organize apps into folders, and it will even like it'll look at like the genre tags of an app to auto name the folder. So if you put a bunch of games into a folder, it'll call that folder games.
Nice. Pretty cool how it works. You just drop like two games on top of each other, and automatically creates a folder. I thought that was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is, in a similar fashion to the iPad, you can now assign actual wallpaper to the phone.
Oh, nice.
That was the most exciting other feature I could find to talk about.
Wallpaper and folders. This is enthralling.
You can do all these things on the Android already. Like, every single one of these, except for the Game Center.
I know. The other thing, too, that Steve Jobs is really excited about from people who are talking about it is iAd. Yes, they are putting ads out themselves now. They are HTML5 based ads.
But they're called iAds, so it's like sleek and cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're these little HTML5 basically programs that can pop up in an app without taking you out of the app. That can be anything from just a simple web banner to video to games. It's kind of feature rich. You know, how Apple's all yay HTML5, so they're really pushing this. Signing up on an iAd platform gives you a 60% cut with Apple. I think they get 60. No, someone gets 60%. I should have written down which one it was. And Sam, you got that. Yeah, Steve Jobs is really happy about this. Can't imagine why.
Are we done with the Apple?
Just one more thing I want to say, too. So this is, like I said, it's coming this summer. The developer preview's out now. It's coming to iPhone 3GS and iPhone 3G. Multitasking won't be in the 3G, but things like Game Center and folders will be. As far as we could tell, they didn't specifically say it, but they didn't mention the original iPhone in this, so I don't even know it's going to work on that. And then they said the iPad version of OS 4.0 won't happen until the fall, which I find really strange. Do you think if there's anything that you're going to want the multitasking and the Game Center stuff on, it's going to be the iPad? But
yeah, that is kind of weird.
So yeah, that's your Apple fun. So, do you guys know who Tommy Rafines is? I think that's how you say it.
No.
Okay, this is the guy who's making Super Meat Boy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He made that tiger handheld thing, which was funny.
Yeah. So this is the story of this. I don't know if you guys knew this story, but back around GDC, he released an iPhone game called Zits and Giggles, which was like a game where you just tapped on zits to pop them. It was really stupid, and it was 99 cents. He was trying to prove the point that you could put garbage on the App Store, and people will buy it no matter what. Like, it does, like, quality on the App Store does not matter. So once sales for this game start to pitter off at 99 cents, he upped the price to like $3.
Oh, yeah.
And then a bunch of people bought it. Then once that pittered off, he upped it to $5. A bunch of people bought it. $8, $10, $25, $50, $100. Someone bought this game for $350.
Didn't like six or seven people buy it for that much?
Yeah. So then at GDC, he kind of revealed his scheme to the world and called out the app stores basically being the modern-day equivalent of the old Tiger handheld electronic games of the early 90s. Well, Apple didn't like that. They pulled Zits and Giggles from the App Store. So what was supposed to be an April Fool's joke, but it came out a little late due to Apple's certification process, he released a Super Meat Boy game for the iPhone that looks like an old Tiger electronic game, complete with the, like, you could see the LCD little characters that aren't lit up yet in the background, and the thing has, like, the border around it, and actually the buttons like a Tiger game would have. And I just find the whole thing kind of funny, because when you think about what he's saying, like, look at Street Fighter 4 on the iPhone. That kind of is like the 20 years later version of that Tiger Electronic Street Fighter 2 thing we were playing back in the day.
Yeah, that is exactly it.
Those games always suck, okay, too. I guess that's the point.
Yeah.
Yep, they didn't cost like $350, though, like the Zit game towards the end.
That's a hell of a lucrative deal. I'm going to try that. I could program something.
I don't think people fall for that more than once.
Oh, yeah. I bet they will. Was
that? Remember when the iPhone App Store first came out, someone made the I Am Rich app?
Yep. Yeah.
That, oh, God, that was brilliant. That guy made like 10 grand doing nothing.
I admire that more than anything.
It's like modern day Robin Hood. Stealing from the rich and giving to himself.
I don't think that's what Robin Hood did. You got it wrong.
He had a bow and arrow.
That's not what I meant.
It was played by Russell Crowe.
No, it was played by Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, yes. Where was I? Okay, Jeff, did you get the Modern Warfare 2 map pack when it was released?
No, I did not. I didn't. No. I was in Boston, then I didn't have money.
Fair enough. Well, if you would have, I think this is for day one buyers. Apparently, there were some live problems when they released the map pack where they put the pack out before the title update that let the pack work, which, of course, just caused all sorts of trouble. So those people are getting a free week of live. That's nice,
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Continuing with the Infinity Award streak here. Two more people have departed the studio of their own free will this time. But now lead designer Todd Alderman and lead software engineer Francesco Gigliotti left Infinity Award.
You know why this upsets me?
Because
Now the remnants of Infinity Award will make some sort of modern-day shooter. And now this new studio, which will inevitably happen, will make some sort of other kind of military shooter. And we'll just have more and more of these games.
Yep. I wonder if this is going to at all reflect like what happened when they left EA. Like, if it's going to be the same kind of thing. Maybe they'll go to Bethesda.
Maybe they should realize that they just don't work well with these big publishers.
Maybe they will stay independent. That could be interesting, actually.
There's more money to be made that way.
Valve pulled it off somehow, right?
Right, right.
And now Valve's a publisher, so kind of came full circle.
Yeah.
So this is just a little interesting tidbit, but Sony's Peter Dill was speaking to a group of investors, and he revealed that ever since they've launched the Kevin Butler campaign, which of course coincided as well with the price drop to $299, purchasing intent of the PlayStation 3 has gone up 36%.
You know what?
As it should.
Always forget. Kevin Butler started before that.
This is true.
The first Kevin Butler ad was for MLB 09, the show. And that was
That's
the first one. That was the only one for a while until the price drop. He didn't really catch on with everyone until the price drop, it seems.
Although that commercial, like every single one of his commercials, have been hilarious. Like he hasn't
really good.
There hasn't been a single miss with Kevin Butler in a Sony ad. And I agree that just him being in there is a really good thing, and it really like boosts their image, at least in my mind.
Right. You know, and I like the PS3 a lot more than I did this time last year. And I don't know if Kevin Butler has to do with that or not, or how
he's not hurting.
Does, but you know, yeah, he's definitely not hurting.
You know, when the advertising campaign before that was like crying baby dolls in a white room.
They had, Yeah, their ads were terrible. Because first they had that really high concept weird shit. And then they like did that... Well, but then after that and before Kevin Butler was that really... They were trying to be very urban, remember? Yeah. It was very like people are skateboarding. As they're skateboarding by, the walls are turning into montages of Little Big Planet.
Like... That more from like the PSP ones where the guys would just be like on the bus and in the streets like with their PSPs doing stuff and dancing.
The best was the PSP ads of like the squirrels. Like, hey, what you doing? I'm playing nuts.
Yeah, the animated
squirrels. Why don't you play outside? What? You can play nuts outside? Yeah, those are just dumb. Okay, what else?
Okay, so... As you might know, Ron Gilbert is creating the game Deathspank with Hothead Games. Well, he left Hothead Games. Apparently, the game is pretty much done with all its creative creation part, I guess, which it's just now like bug testing and certification. So, with his role apparently finished, he left the company, which I find kind of strange.
I get... Something's amiss at Hothead Games.
Yeah, because part of it, like... So, like we talked about last week, it was revealed at PAX that they weren't making Penny Arcade episodes 3 and 4 because Hothead was so focused on Deathspank. But not only is, like Deathspank's apparently almost done if Ron Gilbert's leaving and the creative phase is done. So, like, what's most of the company working on right now if it's just bug testing and certification? So, yeah, you're right. Something is going on over there.
Yeah, I can't... I won't speculate what... But I don't know.
I think you should. Speculate, damn it.
All right, AJ, I kind of have breaking news here.
Okay.
Legitimate. Pokemon Black and Pokemon White have been announced.
Oh, where'd that come up?
Really?
It's on Kotaku right now, yeah.
Oh, wow. That just happened, huh?
I might have to write a news story while we're doing this.
Well, apparently it'll be released sometime this fall. And get this, for the DS and not the 3DS...
So you were wrong about that.
I was wrong about that. This will be the first time that two generations of Pokemon games have been released on the same system.
This is just like alright.
Well, because the way it always... Well, first Pokemon was on Game Boy, then Gold and Silver, which was Generation 2, was on Color. Ruby Sapphire was on the Advance. Pearl and Diamond, was on the DS. I don't know. Maybe I still feel like maybe they're lying and it'll be on 3DS.
Yeah, it's just... Because here's the thing. If this is going to be a new one coming to the DS, here's the thing. I like the Pokemon games. I've been playing them since 1998.
Don't tell me right that now all of a sudden this will be too many and you just don't want to do the same thing again.
Well, I don't see what is to be gained from a new Pokemon on Nintendo DS. Like, what's it gonna do to really move the series forward? At least, like, by having it on new... let me finish this thought. Like, at least having it on new platforms every time, even though, like I said, I've been playing the same game since 1998, but because there at least was that different hardware in my hand, it managed to feel somewhat fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But I've played Pearl. I'm playing Heart Gold right now. Do I really need to play a third one on my DS? Like, I was hoping with the move to 3DS, they'd finally be forced to do some radical changes to it.
Right.
But, we have a logo, so we don't know anything about this. Maybe it is, but
yeah, right. I don't know. It says in this article, at least, it's for the DS, not the 3DS specifically. I still want to completely rule that out for some reason.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, even it seems to me like even if they have been making this for the DS, like just to kind of... get it onto the 3DS, pull a Twilight Princess on it if you would. Wouldn't be a bad idea. There's gotta be something a little bit different here, just because this is only gonna be 6 months from the remakes. And it's this fall in Japan, so that probably means more like around this time period in America.
That's what Nintendo's been doing, all these really weird...
That's what I was just... That's what I was curious...
Very little fanfare.
That's what was curious to me. Like, this is, like, really unlike Nintendo, and we found out 3DS, like... was unlike Nintendo for a reason, and I'm like thinking we'll probably find out something similar about this. Like, maybe they really do have something like legitimately interesting, and it leaked, and we'll find out about it next week or something. So I think we should.
Can I just take a quick side rant here on the state of internet news reporting?
Please.
Okay.
Clearly, this article is extremely bare bones and was clearly written with the intention of getting first on the internet.
Yep.
There's no source. There's no links. There's no proof. Like, this is what it says. Get ready for new Pokemon games, PokeFans, as the latest entries in the popular monster collecting series, Pokemon Black and Pokemon White, have just turned up on the internet's doorstop. Oh? Where's that? Where's this doorstop I can go look at? I hate this. Like, where did this come from?
Well, this is Kotaku. This is exactly what happened with their 3DS. They put a stub up for their 3DS so they could be the first one out, and then they went and, like, put it on N4G and other things. And then, like, the first one, like, read, like, 3DS, like, you're going to need glasses. And they had, like, all the facts wrong. And then they just, like, changed it, like, 10 minutes later, like, and then kept changing it and changing it. And that's what they're doing here, obviously. Like, I wouldn't even take all of this information at its word. You know, maybe it says the exact opposite. Maybe it says it's for 3DS, not DS in the Japanese, and these guys just put it up here to be the first ones out. So I think we should wait and see.
Mm. I have to say, I'm surprised it took them this long to figure out they can use black and white.
Well,
I had assumed that was coming after.
Do you think it's going to be called black and white in the United States? I wouldn't be surprised if they changed it for the U.S.
I don't know. You think there will be some sort of sensitivity?
I don't think there will be amongst anyone buying it. I just think Nintendo will perceive like sensitivity and therefore change it.
I don't know, because I feel like that decision in even Japan, there would have been some sort of dialogue between the two already.
Man, possibly.
I did some digging around, and it turns out that the source for this is the Pokemon Japan website, pokemon.co.jp. So, is it that hard to throw that link into your article somewhere?
Right, because if I was just to look at just the way the Pokemon logo sort of sloppily arced on that Pokeball in the picture, it kind of looks a little not totally professional. I don't know, but okay.
There's a whole teaser flash intro thing in Japanese that I can't read.
Oh.
Are
you learning anything from it?
Are they showing Pokemon? There's something happening on April 15th.
Okay.
The fourth comment on the Kotaku story is segregation finally hitting Pokemon. So Nintendo will read that and they'll be like,
oh. Problem will be. Most of that black-white stuff will be happening by 14-year-olds on the comment sections of these blog sites.
Right, I think it's totally possible Nintendo of America will overreact to the comment sections. I mean,
yeah, but you got to think, though. They have to think of Pokemon as a global platform. There's no way they didn't think about this.
I think they'll go through with it. You can't. At the end of the day, you can't really make anything out of it.
I know, it's just colors.
No, yeah, I agree.
And it's Pokemon.
I agree. I think there's still a small chance they might change it, but I agree with you guys that they.
No,
really
I agree with you. I think they might wimp out, but I think probably not. Also, what will the third game be when that comes out? Pokemon Gray.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I guess so.
Pokemon.
Maybe I'm looking forward to that.
Off white and
or maybe brown. Brown.
Brown. Pokemon crap.
Pokemon. Buy this Pokemon crap.
Okay, that's enough about that breaking news. We'll learn more soon, hopefully.
I guess by next week.
Yes.
All right. So Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker is being very Kojima right now by having the inclusion of Monster Hunter levels.
Hmm.
Yes, you will use all of Snake's stealth and hand-to-hand combat to fight dinosaurs.
I just don't see. I still have never played a Monster Hunter game, so I don't even know what to think of this. I assume that's what they were going for with the whole four people play a Snake thing anyways. Like they wanted that Monster Hunter market.
These are playable in multiplayer. I mean, if you don't know what Monster Hunter is, just think Phantasy Star Online with dinosaurs, and it's far more convoluted.
I don't have any problems with it. I mean, as long as it's not, you know, in the main storyline, which will become canon in Metal Gear Solid, it's like, oh, we have to go fight this dinosaur.
Oh, but then did you see the press conference to announce all the in-game advertising partners
for
this
weird.
Game?
And what's weird about it is the way Kojima, like, defends it and says that it's artistic.
No, it's bullshit. Listen, Axe body spray did not exist in the 70s. All right? It didn't exist in the 90s.
It's like Mad Men.
God damn it, no.
They're Mad Men.
I don't think it exists at all, since by the time Axe body wash is invented, Metal Gear Solid is in a completely different world, timeline-wise.
Yeah, right? Right? So. The space-time continuum is fucked. It can't exist. And here's the other thing that's a problem, too. One of the in-game ad partners is Famitsu. How can they legitimately review a game in which they are an advertiser?
Yeah, that's weird.
They can't. Not ethically.
They clearly do not have... They clearly never had a Gertzman Gate over in Japan.
Yeah.
I wonder, though. It's like, are the Japanese, like, press or video game media, are they upset about that? Or is it just...
Oh, no, they all think it's awesome.
Do they? How do you know?
Advertising in Japan, like, it's very different in America. I mean, like, ads are almost as entertaining and important to people as TV shows there. It's weird. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I mean, this is why they had a big press conference with giant pictures on a huge projector. No one in America would give a shit except for Steve Jobs.
That's weird. It's different.
Yeah, what is, like, Pepsi? What are some... Doritos? Like, no.
Why are Doritos always getting into these things?
Not in a 1970s era Metal Gear game. It's not even set in America. It's in, like... Where was it set in the demo?
I'm sure it's some, like, South America.
Yeah, it's not even America or Japan. These people aren't snacking down on nacho cheese here, okay?
They're more of a Cool Ranch nation.
Cool Ranch. God damn it.
I hate this bullshit. I'm sorry. I hate to keep saying this, but this is why Japanese games piss me off. I hate this bullshit.
All right. Yeah, because okay, no Western games have ads in them.
No, I don't... Like,
wait, it's not that they don't have ads. It's that they don't, like, act like, oh, it's artistic, and everyone knows what it is, and no one... They try to hide it, and they act, like, properly ashamed of themselves for doing it, but then they sign their paychecks.
When I was playing Dragon Age, I didn't go into my inventory and spray on some Axe body spray before I went to talk to Morgan.
Is it really that bad? Is Axe body spray really an inventory item that you use? Like,
they didn't say to what extent.
How exactly is this working?
It just said Axe body spray is in-game.
That's interesting, because I saw that a Walkman is in-game. At least that kind of makes sense. Like, it's not an iPod, it's a Walkman.
And, like, the iPod in Metal Gear 4, I'll take that. That's okay. You know, but, like...
Let's wait and see. I still... Maybe this isn't as bad as it sounds. I don't know. It sounds pretty bad. So I'll give that to you. It sounds pretty terrible. All right.
Well, you know it's pretty good, and this is something coming out of Japan I do approve of. The Professor Layton anime is getting an English translation and is coming to DVD and Blu-ray this September.
I am pretty happy with that. Did you see... I mean, I watched some of the Japanese trailers for it when it...
Yeah, the fans have subbed. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, oh, it does. It looks pretty cool. I hope that they do dub it, though, with the American voice cast, because I really do like all of them.
They'd have to.
Yeah, why not? No, I'm pretty excited. I love that franchise.
Me too.
And I love that... Right. I love that style, that sort of French animation style
have. European animation, I agree. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty slick. I mean, even just those cutscenes in the DS games look so good.
Not on DSi XL, apparently, but yeah, they do on anything else.
I bet. All right. Anything else?
Let's see. For the two of you who missed the other OS feature in the PS3, that guy who promised to hack it back in has done so. He hasn't released it yet, but he put up video and photo proof. It's back.
Oh, that's nice.
Hooray. Second to last big thing I have here. Is the announcement of the StarCraft II Wings of Liberty Collector's Edition.
Okay, here's my question. Since this is now a trilogy of games, are they going to have these giant collector's editions for all three of them?
Probably.
They should Voltron into something.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
I still don't get this trilogy concept. I just don't get it, but go ahead.
I know. Well, for your $100,
it's like, they're like
the
money.
Following. Yes.
They have so Mike, much of it.
Mike, why would they get $150 off you for this game when they could get... 300.
I guess so.
So here's what you get. A 2 GB USB thumb drive that looks like Jim Raynor's dog tag. And loaded on that drive is the original StarCraft and the Brood War expansion.
What?
Then you get You get a 176-page art book, behind-the-scenes DVD with interviews, cinematics, and developer commentary, a soundtrack CD, a prequel issue of the StarCraft comic series, a mini Thor in-game pet for World of Warcraft, and exclusive Battle.net content such as alternate character decals, skins, and profile portraits. Really not a bad
thing. That sounds pretty awesome.
I said that. Soundtrack CD.
Can I just get the soundtrack in that Warcraft pet?
No.
Can I have your Warcraft pet since you don't play?
I do sometimes. Oh, I'll get back into it when Cataclysm comes out again. So I don't get your Warcraft pet. Nope.
You're going to make me pay $100 freaking dollars to get the Warcraft pet. Give me the Warcraft pet.
Nope.
Give it to me. You don't play. I gave you like 300 gold so you would play, and you don't.
Give me $10.
Oh, God.
That's a good deal.
God.
This is why I listen to you guys' show. The bickering.
Here's the thing. You probably just put one code in the BattleNet and it gives you all this stuff since everything's going to be connected now.
Yeah.
Did you know, but you know, this is an Activision product after all. It is $60 for the regular edition.
You guys need to get over this PC games costing $60 now thing. It's here. It happened.
It only happens now. Anyway, they did announce, too, that the downloadable version on BattleNet will not happen on release day, but a few weeks later, which I found interesting. Probably some concession they had to make to keep retailers happy.
I guess if people have to buy boxes again. I don't know what you all do, but...
See, at least, like, the one good thing is, like, in the case of this game, in the case of all the Valve games, I don't mind buying the PC versions at retail because it just loads in the Steam or BattleNet anyway. So that's fine. And the final story I have, and Mike, I did save the best for last for you, is the rumor, and yes, rumor, but very good rumor, of Marvel vs. Capcom 3. The guy who made this prediction is the same guy who, a number of months ago, accurately predicted the entire roster of Super Street Fighter 4. So he's got some good information.
If this happens, then if it's at E3, I will shit a brick. Jeff, you'll be there.
The rumor is that we may get a formal announcement as soon as May.
So, yeah, I'm just hoping it's at E3 so I can try it. But this has been a dream game for me.
Now let me ask you some wish list questions here, Mike. I have a little
Phoenix
segment.
Wright.
No. I'm not even there yet. 2D or 3D?
If it looks like Street Fighter 4, I'll be fine. As long as it's 2D playing, you know what I mean? I don't want to play like Soul Calibur or something.
Right. Retail or downloadable?
Retail.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, you said Phoenix Wright. So I'm assuming that's the Capcom character you want in there the most.
Right.
Who's the Marvel character that's not in Versus 2 that you want in there the most?
The two that come to mind. Thor, that was a big oversight in Deadpool.
All right.
If you get Deadpool and Phoenix Wright in that game, shoot me. It's over. I can't even talk about it. Just the idea. It's Marvel vs. Capcom 2 came out in what, 2000? 99?
I mean, you can imagine that Capcom just went like straight to Disney. It was like, here, look how much Street Fighter 4 sold. And here's how much like, we could sell.
Went through.
Right, exactly. Well, in, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 became a big thing.
Yeah, that re-release was smart. I think I get the feeling that that re-release was done as a way to kind of re-spark interest in the franchise so that they could approach who it was just Marvel at the time that became Disney to approach them about doing, like, look, we should do another one of these. Totally. And it seems to have worked.
And like, I think true, it would so, be a, yeah. There's no reason not to. Mm-hmm. And I hope it's done right. You know, there's certain expectations. There has to be a lot of characters in the game.
Of course.
You know.
The only reason they wouldn't do it. Is if Disney thinks that their like video game studios could make one and make them more money, but they have to realize that that's not the case.
But I think Disney's been really smart lately. Like, I think they've realized that there's a lot to be had from these kind of developer partnerships.
I think you're right. Yeah, I just that
you look at Split Second.
That doesn't mean like the one or two accountants that might have some pull wouldn't be like, oh, but if we do this ourselves, we don't have to give any money to Capcom. So, I mean, you know, there's still that chance, but I think they'll come to their senses and realize it, too, and I can't see it not happening.
Right.
It's just my only concern is my expectations for this game will be pretty enormous. If Phoenix Wright isn't in it at all, that's just, that'll be no good. Okay? Mm-hmm. Get Phoenix Wright in there for crying out loud.
Is Tatsunoko versus Capcom out yet?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I totally missed that.
I didn't get it yet. I do.
It's all right. It's pretty good. I played it, I ran it. It's pretty cool.
See, my problem is I don't know. I didn't even know what Tatsunoku was before I heard of that game. I'd probably just play as all the Capcom characters, but whatever. We should play Marvel vs. Capcom 2 when we're done recording.
Yeah.
I kind of want to now.
Oh, man. oh, you know, not to complain, but some more balancing of the characters will be nice. There's so much potential here. There's basically the opportunity to make the best fighting game ever. So that's what I'm kind of expecting. So that's why I can be disappointed easily. I don't know. But you know, right now, this is the news story of 2010.
All right.
All right.
So yeah, that's it for news. I am done.
All right then. Let's do the quiz.
All right. Hooray.
Great American Age Guy Gaming Quiz with Jeff.
Hello.
All right, guys. First question. Japanese capsule companies eventually became what publisher?
Japanese capsule companies?
Mm-hmm.
Came what publisher? I don't know. Do you have any idea at all, Jeff?
I mean, maybe Capcom?
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess. Let's go with that.
Yes. Capsule all right. companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay, good.
Hooray for logic.
Question 2. Which two Mega Capcom franchises were born in 1987?
Would Mega Man be one of them, you think?
Yeah, well, hang on. Okay. Let me think. I mean, it feels a little late for Mega Man. No, I guess 1987 sounds... No, 1987 sounds right for Mega Man.
So Mega Man and what else came out that year? There could be Bionic Commando.
What was the... Like, how'd you phrase the question again?
Which two Mega Capcom franchises were born in 1987?
Mega. Wait, did Fighting Street come out in 87?
You realize it was only called that in the 3DO port. You can call it Street Fighter 1.
Yeah, it was. They just had Street Fighter 1. That sounds about right, too, yeah.
Okay, we'll say Mega Man and Street Fighter.
Correct.
Sweet.
Well, for two. Question 3. In 1994, Capcom released this RPG for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, it's Breath of Fire, but is it Breath of Fire 4 or something? Isn't that the one they did, Breath of Fire?
Breath of Fire is a Capcom game, I thought, and for the Super Nintendo, wasn't it Breath of Fire 3? I don't know. I mean, maybe we should have just said Breath of Fire and stopped.
I feel like there is a number, but I'm not sure what number it is. So, yeah, we'll just say Breath of Fire.
Correct.
Okay, good.
All right, 3 for 3. Next one's easy.
And now I'm getting nervous.
Beautiful Joe and Okami were created by what Capcom development house?
Is it Clover?
Clover.
Yeah, Clover.
Correct.
Oh.
All right, guys, 4 for 4. Get one more right, you win.
Oh, man.
1942 was released in the arcades in what year? And no, it is not 1942.
Oh, man. This is a crapshoot.
Yeah, I know it really is. I'm...
Like 1982 or something?
Seems no, that's too early.
Too early?
Yeah. I don't know. I would say like 1986. I'm not sure. Like,
yeah, that sounds. You know, let's say 86.
84.
Nice. Split the difference.
All right, last question, guys.
Oh no!
Bonus question: name Capcom's original mascot, pre Mega Man. Clue. He's in Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, now I'm going to have to sit here and think for a little while. Wait a minute. Was it that Amigo guy? The cactus?
The cactus.
Okay, no. It wasn't him. Something tells me that's not it.
Campy. I don't know.
Wait. What was it? Captain Commando? And it makes sense.
I mean,
if you abbreviate it, is Capcom.
Good enough.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Correct.
Yes.
Well done.
Logic wins the day. Look at that.
You're welcome, by the way. All right. You win. Congratulations.
I wish it was the cactus.
Yay.
All right. We got time for either or. We have time. We have all the time in the world. But it's time for either or.
With the time slot on the internet.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I want to do my song.
Make room for the next podcast.
The Popeye one?
Not the Popeye one. All right. No. Here's how either or works, guys. We got 10 questions here. Pick one or the other. After each question, I will give a point to one of you. Whoever gets the most points at the end wins. At the end, there's a lightning round with 5 additional questions. speed counts in the lightning round, so you have to get them off fast. But let's start off with the first 10. You guys ready?
Sure.
Yep.
Let's start off with Jeff. Red Dead Redemption or Mafia 2?
Mafia 2. Barely.
You have to go into detail now.
Okay, fair enough. Well, okay, now I feel like I want to change. Cause I saw, did you guys see the multiplayer demo?
I didn't see that.
Oh,
I saw the headline.
Oh, it looks so cool. It looks like they figured out everything that was wrong with the Grand Theft Auto 4, like open world multiplayer, fixed it all, and made it so much cooler. And it's automatically cooler because you're on a horse and you have a cowboy hat. So I don't know. Maybe I'm going to go with Red Dead Redemption. I'm waffling.
You're waffling. You got to pick one. Pick one now.
Red Dead Redemption.
Okay. AJ?
I say Red Dead as well. I'm sure they'll both be really good. But, you know, Mafia 2 is kind of still in that same vein of, you know, big city, you know, and gangsters, which, you know, we've gotten with the Godfather games. And there was another Red Dead game, but not nearly as ambitious as what this one looks to be. And, you know, it's a Western. It's got some cool stuff going for it. And apparently I hear the multiplayer is really good, so, you know.
I didn't like Jeff flip-flopping.
Of course.
But Jeff actually played both of these games. Unlike AJ, so point goes to Jeff.
Damn right.
Oh.
All right, AJ, start with you. Fear 3 or Gears of War 3?
You mean for 3?
Can I say something? About F3AR? Why are people so upset about that? Like, it's people are furious about... Okay, fine,
I'm not, like, furious about it. I'm just like, seriously, like, that's what you're calling it?
All the bloggers are like, they make a point, like, I refuse to call it F3AR. I'm like, oh, get over it.
Because it's spring, and everyone, like, is like their cynicism was about to die, then that came out, and they're like, oh, I'm ready on the internet, so I have to be pissed about something. This is, you know, right. Good enough.
Right.
You know, on the Weekend Confirmed podcast, they actually made a good crack. They're like, well, of course, you know, Fear 4... That title's easy to figure out.
Right.
But God, if they can make it to the 34th game in the series.
But, okay, that ran aside. AJ, Fear 3 or Gears of War 3?
Gears.
Not knowing not knowing much about either right now.
Right. The Fear games, they're of what I've played of them, which is not a ton, they do some interesting things, but just something about them, it's... I don't know, it's really hard to put my finger on what it is about them. But I don't know. It's just they feel a little off. The Gears games, yeah, you got your 10 shitload cliches and everything, but they're still very solidly built shooters that are tailor-made for the Xbox 360. The tech is always phenomenal in them. And, of course, there's the co-op, which makes anything almost better. So I'll go with Gear.
Jeff?
Yeah, I played Fear 2, but I don't know. I feel like I'm just going to repeat everything AJ just said, but I would...
That's
definitely
a surefire way to lose a point.
I know it is, but I would have to go with Gears also. It's just, there's nothing in Fear that, like, really would, I think, would be done better than anything in any Epic game. So, if, you know, if I'm going to have to, like, pick between the two of them sitting in front of me, I'm going to put in Gears every time. Probably just because of the co-op, and I'm going to be playing on Xbox Live anyhow, and the guns don't feel fun in any Fear game. And I haven't finished any of the Fear games I've played, so I don't know. I would totally go with Gears.
One goes to AJ.
Yay. Oh,
I'll stab you.
Jeff.
What?
I like that. Sorry, get angry. Get competitive. Jeff.
Who's stabbing me? What?
Fight you. 3DS, excited or not?
Excited. Definitely excited. It's something that, like they're taking a risk. I think Nintendo is just innovating at this point because they can innovate, but, you know, it's better than everyone else just, like, sort of, you know, waiting out there, trying to see what catches on, and then doing something. Like, Nintendo's like, 3D is hot right now? Fuck it, let's do it. And, you know, I'm getting more excited because the technology that sounds like they're going to be using is the real, like, glasses-free 3D instead of just face tracking, which if they do that, really could be a step forward, and it might force them to do something different with a lot of these old series, just because a lot of, like, they're going to want to use 3D in all their games, which, you know, could change a lot of, like, old paradigms that they're used to with Zelda and things like that. So I'm excited.
AJ?
Yeah, I'm all for it. I've always been a big fan of 3D, and after having gotten a chance to actually play some games in 3D, which I hadn't really done yet at PAX, I think it works really well. Like I said, it's not about stuff flying at your face. It's about just giving the scenes depth, and it's really more subtle than I think a lot of people would realize, but it's really great. And, you know, there's some of the naysayers like, oh, I'm sick of all this 3D shit, and I'm not going to wear glasses, and I don't want to have to, like, stare at these 3D objects on my screen on my Game Boy. Well, you can turn it off. It's all optional. You could just flip a little switch, apparently, and this thing will go back to 2D, and it'll look fine. So if you have a problem with it, you're just getting new DS hardware that is apparently going to be as powerful as the GameCube. And even that in and of itself is great. I mean, just imagine how cool it'll be to play something that is visually, like, let's say they make a new Mario game for this thing that is visually on par with Super Mario Sunshine that is also in 3D. I'm on board.
Yeah, I just saw a video on game trailers. It was interesting. This is kind of related, but apparently there was some sort of press event for the Virtual Boy before it came out, and they showed tech demos for Super Mario and a Star Fox game.
That Star Fox game was actually, it was a different game. Somebody corrected it in the comments.
Wow.
I forget which one it was. Like Red Zone or something. Yeah.
Oh, Red Zone. That was a real game. But that Mario game, that was interesting looking.
Yeah, it was. It did some interesting things with the 3D. And it's a shame it never came out.
Well, it was kind of like the weird, Wario though. Game.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Then it had like a sort of top-down perspective part. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Both basic good points there. It's a tie.
Okay.
AJ, Metal Gear Solid, yes. Peace Walker product placement. Tasteful or lame?
Bullshit lame. Oh, my God. I mean, I think I made my point pretty clear in the news segment. But again, in-game ads don't bother me when they make sense. If I'm playing a NASCAR game, I expect to see ads plastered all over everything that has a surface on it. If I'm playing Metal Gear Solid 4 and you tell me Snake has an iPod, fine. Everybody has iPods. Why not? I am not going into a spy thriller set in South America during the 70s and eating Doritos and spraying myself with Axe body spray while I read the review of my game in Famitsu that is undoubtedly a 40 out of 40. Fuck off.
Jeff.
I think I might just get the point to AJ, but I'm going to say tasteful. But like I said earlier, it's like the Mad Men of video games. They're going to be eating their Doritos for sustenance. You know, they're going to have a military contract with Doritos, and, you know, the Sony Walkman will be fitting in there precisely. It's going to be a really beautiful thing to witness firsthand. I'm glad we're alive for it.
Nice. Good last-ditch effort there, but the point goes to AJ.
Yeah, I figured.
Jeff, Halo movie will happen or will never happen?
Will happen. It's hard to know with movies, like, especially with these big franchises that are worth so much money and they have so much stock. But I think it's sort of like, no matter what, it's going to happen. Someone's going to, you know, get the balls to actually run through with this. You know, we're far enough removed from Super Mario Brothers the movie that I think people will forget how things turn out, and it might have more to depend on, like, how Prince of Persia does, but I think Prince of Persia is going to make a lot of money, and when it does, Halo the movie will follow about 2 years later. That's my guess.
AJ.
Jeff stole my main point, but I'll iterate it anyway. Yeah, it's going to happen, and the time frame in which it happens will depend on the success of Prince of Persia. If that movie does well, of course, I mean, this is poor logic, but the logic in Hollywood will be like, oh, video game movies are hot right now. Let's make some. Halo, get that. Like, that'll happen. And who knows? Maybe they'll be calling up Jerry Bruckheimer himself to make it. But like I said, if Prince of Persia does well, you'll get a Halo movie. You'll get a Gears of War movie. The Castlevania movie might come back. We might even get the goddamn Metroid movie at this point. Who knows?
See, you guys, I don't know. We always hear how these games are going to get turned into movies, and they always fall apart. Something just fell apart recently.
Prince of Persia?
It was Gears.
Gears?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think Gears just fell apart. I don't know. I'm inclined to just think it'll never happen for whatever reason.
You know why I think a lot of these movies do fall apart? Mm. To the game company's credit, they want to keep control of these IP and the story. Hollywood doesn't like that. They want you to sign a paper saying, here's the rights, go make whatever thing you're going to make, and we're not going to bother you.
It just because it makes sense because it will make money, you think the movie would happen, it doesn't happen. That the Hobbit movie has been having problems constantly. Things just happen, no matter how sure of a hit if something
will be. And now with 343, this Halo-specific entity, it might be even more difficult because they might want full control, or they might try to make it themselves and just fail miserably halfway through the process. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's not always the answer, because the Final Fantasy movie is pretty much made by the creative people who made Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to say that would make it good. Yeah, it definitely wouldn't, I don't think.
Point goes to Jeff.
Flexing.
what are we on? AJ. StarCraft II Collector's Edition. Buy or no buy?
Yeah, it's a buy for me. I mean, for $40 more, I get the behind-the-scenes DVD, which I always like. I get the soundtrack, which I always like. You get the art book, which I like. You get a thumb drive, which has two games. Granted, I already have, but, you know, I'll take it. And, I mean, I have every World of Warcraft Collector's Edition. I got the Diablo 2 Collector's Edition. And the reason I keep getting them is Blizzard does put together really nice collector's editions that not only have nice stuff in them, but they're also nice packages. And looking at the screenshots of this box, it too, it looks nice. And, you know, I don't feel like I'm getting ripped off when I get that, as opposed to getting, the collector's edition of some random shooter on the 360, where the collector's edition is a code for some maps and, I don't know, maybe the case is made out of, stronger plastic.
Jeff?
Definitely not getting it. Because you know by the time the third one comes out, they're going to have a collector's edition that'll have all the games in it for the same price, possibly even cheaper with all this stuff and even more. So, I don't know. Definitely not a get, for me anyhow.
Now, see, if they're going to do a collector's edition like that, it's not going to have the same stuff. It's going to have all new stuff.
It's going to have a lot of the same stuff.
All three other collector's editions will buy this.
It's going to have all the stuff that people actually care about and a lot less of the crap, because they're going to be fitting it a lot more stuff in the same box. I wouldn't get this one, because, you know, especially with the other two coming out right down the line, I mean, it's, you know that this is just a stand-in for now. It's like getting this collector's edition of, episode one, and not just waiting.
I'm gonna have to agree with AJ here. I don't foresee the super collector's edition. I think they'll keep those things separate.
I'll be back on when that happens. Oh, just to go.
They never did the super collector edition of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but they never released their games as a trilogy. They never planned to do that.
Oh, there's three things. I don't know. Don't see it. Point, AJ.
Fair enough.
Ha. All right, Jeff. Super Street Fighter 4, excuse me, or Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
Marvel vs. Capcom 3. That is reasonable, especially as a retail game. I would get Marvel vs. Capcom 3 as a retail game without even questioning it, but Super Street Fighter 4 makes me mad at Japanese developers for not just realizing how important downloadable content is, for not setting up their game in the first place to be able to accept the Super add-on instead of having to buy a whole new game. Super Street Fighter 4 just makes me mad just to think about, so definitely Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
AJ?
I'm also Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I mean, my tune has significantly changed in Super Street Fighter 4. I do feel like there is at least a significant enough amount of new stuff in it that I will be getting it, actually. But still, I mean, come on. Super Street Fighter 4 and Street Fighter 4, good games. I enjoy it. But a new Marvel vs. Capcom, I have to have that. I have to have that. I historically have loved crossovers ever since I first saw the Flintstones meet the Jetsons. And literally, ever since I saw that movie, I was like, you can do that? Anytime there's been a crossover, I love it. And this is the king of crossovers to me, because I love all these Capcom characters. I like all the Marvel characters. The first games in the series, all the way back to Street Fighter versus X-Men, have been fun. Bring on MVC3.
Point, AJ. I agree with him. I think there's enough in Super Street Fighter 4 to justify it as a retail product. Since you both agreed to everything else, that'll be the sticking point.
Fair enough.
DLC, not always the answer, Sir Jeff.
Well, I still think that it. Hey, never mind. You're right. We're moving on. It's just, you know, it's just indicative
of
Japanese.
Don't argue with me.
It still makes me mad.
Yeah, traditionally Japanese developers suck with DLC. I'll give you that. Hmm. All right, AJ. Monster Hunter Tri, care or don't care?
I care enough to maybe rent it, and only if other people from the squad are playing it. Like I said, Monster Hunter, it is very similar in a lot of ways to Phantasy Star, but the fact that it was basically a PSP game for so long, and let's face it, in America, multiplayer gaming on the PSP does not happen. And you're trying to play that game, which needs camera management, on a system without a second analog stick, on a tiny little screen, where the whole catch of the game is that you're fighting these giant monsters, where scale's a really big deal. And on the PSP screen, you just don't get that sense. But if I can play this on the Wii with friends, and if they've cleaned it up a little bit so it's not quite as convoluted as the last one I played, which I think was like 3 games back on the PSP, if it can tap into that appeal of the original Phantasy Star Online, I'll go for it. And I think not having a monthly fee on it in America was really smart, because no one would have done it as a try thing. They would have only catered to the hardcore crowd, which is very small in this country. So I'm willing to try it and see how I like it.
Jeff.
I'm going to probably definitely... I'm interested in it. Especially since Iwata said that the graphics in the game have caused the Zelda team to feel like they need to catch up. So I'm kind of interested just to see how good the graphics look on the Wii and, you know, see if that really is something that's serious. But beyond that, I don't know. You know, there aren't a lot of multiplayer games like this in America, and... like AJ said, I'm glad there is no monthly fee. That would immediately kill any interest. But I'm at least willing to try it. And, you know, I think it could be something that catches on with me, because, you know, I'm getting into Pokemon. I know it's not exactly the same thing, but I'm definitely interested to see, you know, how this works on the Wii. It's going to have the voice chat, I think, with the voice thing. And, you know, I'll give it a try.
It does come, too, if you pay, like, $10 more, you get the Classic Controller Pro, which is a slick little looking accessory as well.
Oh, I have to say point AJ. I do. Sorry, Jeff.
Oh yeah, no hard feelings.
He got you there in the end with that tidbit about the classic.
Yeah, I had no controller. Idea. I'm definitely more interested in it.
I'm very good at this game now.
AJ, you're on a point streak here.
I know.
Jeff's gotta come back with something. All right, Jeff. Dead Rising 2 or Lost Planet 2?
Dead Rising 2. Zombies, definitely. I like Lost Planet, and I played the multiplayer demo. It was fun and interesting, but I don't know, something about it, like, it really didn't click as well, and I'm interested to see what they could do with Las Vegas and really make that world open up. You know, it's not as good as the mall, I don't think, but I feel like, you know, they've had a couple years to improve on that, so I'm definitely interested to see what they could do with Dead Rising 2. Well, way more than I am with Lost Planet 2.
AJ?
I vote Lost Planet 2, actually. I think they're realizing... like, the first game had that grappling hook, and I think they're realizing how good of a mechanic that is, and they're going to be implementing that more in the second game.
It feels good, though, in the demo. I thought that was my whole problem with it.
Yeah.
The grappling hook didn't feel good.
I'm hoping it'll work. Here's the thing with Dead Rising 2. Like, the first Dead Rising game, I played the demo, and that was enough. It was fun enough for me to just run around for a half hour whacking some zombies. I could have given two shits about playing that game in any structured manner. And then I understand this isn't the case in the second one, but just the way like the saving system worked and all the crap with that, it's just stuff I don't have time to do in that kind of game. And I haven't really admitted to this until about a month ago this finally hit me. I think I'm finally starting to hit zombie fatigue. It's been this big thing basically ever since Left 4 Dead, and I've been on board with it for a while. I was like, oh yeah, zombies are fun, they're fun. I think I'm finally starting to get over it.
Did you play Left 4 Dead 2 yet?
No.
You own it, right?
Yeah.
You lose a point just for the I want to say ludicrous, but I want to make it ludicrosity. Ludicrousness, the ludicrousness of that situation. It was a point.
The absurdity?
That's a better word that also works. The absurdity of that situation. Shut up, don't back talk to me. I will take away a point.
No.
All right.
I was trying to help you.
All right. Jeff gets the point there. Plus, I I'm not the world's biggest zombie fan, but something about Lost Planet 2 is just not very, or Lost Planet, just not very interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I'm probably not going to be that interested in either game, but if I had to pick, it would be Lost Planet.
All right, AJ, last one of the normal 10.
Oh, man.
Next Call of Duty, Vietnam, or something else?
Everything seems to point to Vietnam. Now, I'm trying to remember the exact wording, but I think there was a clause in the two guys who got kicked out of Infinity Ward that, like, anything post-Vietnam couldn't be done without their permission. So legally, they may be stuck with Vietnam unless they want to do another World War II game. And the only thing that's something else that they could do would be, like, sci-fi future, which if anyone's going to do that is going to be Infinity Ward proper and not Treyarch or whoever's doing the next Call of Duty game, because there's another Sledgehammer doing them too. So, yeah, plus there hasn't really been a good Vietnam game. Maybe they feel like they can finally crack that. So I'll go with yes, Vietnam.
Jeff?
Disregarding anything that they might have to do legally or contractually, I wouldn't hate a Vietnam game, but I hopefully something else. Like, I can imagine, I know it's called Call of Duty and that's inherently American, but, you know, the characters don't have to necessarily be the United States military. It could be, like, some sort of former Soviet country fighting off the Russians, invading their country, something like that, something along those lines. I think they could do something a lot more interesting by stepping away from strictly doing American combat. But that's only because we've had so many of those games. You know, Vietnam's something different, but it's just not as interesting.
All right, point Jeff. All right, guys, you're at 5-6, AJ leading, going to the lightning round.
Oh, man.
All right, guys, so there's five more coming up. We just go, you don't take turns, you just say your answer first. Speed counts. We good on that? Speed counts.
Speed and accuracy.
Speed and accuracy. So last time someone claimed I didn't tell them that speed counted. I did, so I'm making sure everyone knows speed counts. There you go. You guys ready?
Yep.
Yo. All
right. Here we go. Detroit Tigers or Cleveland Indians?
Cleveland Indians.
You son of a bitch. Tigers.
Lucky Charms. Lucky Charms. Lucky or not?
Lucky.
Not.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Bug or Clockwork Knight?
Clockwork Knight.
Clockwork Knight.
Left button or right button?
Right.
Right, sorry.
All right, AJ won lightning round 3-2. That brings him to 7-9. AJ wins.
Well, it was weighted against me with the first question.
Oh, you could have lied.
And ruined the ethical feelings of this game? Never.
Oh, you're right. I appreciate that. He gets an extra point. He still doesn't win. But it's now 8-9. Very close.
That's all that matters to me. That was a lie. All never right. mind. I ruined it.
All right, that's it. We're running a little long here. Let's do our game. Well, let's do our weekend gaming. But let's be mindful of the time we have amassed already. All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, I don't know. Speaking for me, I've been playing more Pokemon. Just tried to do Elite Four. Didn't win that time. I'll try again later. Cave Story, been playing that. I'm pretty sure I had to talk about that last week. It's really cool.
Oh, I played it for the first time.
Right,
actually,
why don't you talk about it? Because it's new for you.
Yeah, it's the bee's knees, man.
The bee's knees.
What I like about it is it feels like if game development like just kind of kept staying on the NES and they just kept figuring out new ways to use that system, this is the game we'd have.
Yeah, this would feel like if we had 20 years to develop on the NES, how good would an NES game be?
Right. Like the graphics, like they're not totally 8-bit graphics. They obviously are throwing back to that style, but the sound design of this game is right out of the Nintendo. It's like they took an NES sound chip and only used that to do all their sound design. The action in the game is really quite good. It's almost like a faster paced, more action packed Metroid.
Right.
And I am a fan. I like the whole, like the constant level up, level down system to all the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really works well. It's a good incentive to not get hit aside from just dying. Like, I feel like even if there wasn't a health meter in this game, if that was the only incentive to not get hit was your weapon leveling down, I feel like that's actually pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all in all, I really like it. It's really good.
Anything else you played, AJ?
Can I talk about my Nexus 1?
Yeah, talk about it. Just for a second.
Jeff wants me to.
Just a little bit, please.
Okay. Wait, why are you using Tweedroid? Use Seismic for your Twitter client.
I was using Seismic. It was doing things I didn't like.
Fair enough.
Oh,
all right.
God. I can already tell this is going to be painful. What are you talking about?
So I got my Nexus 1 last Friday.
Oh, tech nerd.
Bastard, I'm so jealous.
I love my Nexus 1.
Damn it. It has 3 times the amount of RAM I have on my phone. I hate you.
I got that Snapdragon processor. Oh. I mean, having been using an iPhone 3G, that was just getting so sluggish with everything I wanted to do on it. This thing is just like a breath of fresh air and a beautiful spring day. I mean, it's so nice. I mean, here's the thing. I watched this Apple thing, and I'm seeing them talk about folders and multitasking and customizable wallpaper. I'm like, I got that last week. This is great.
Did you get Drop 7?
Yeah, I did, actually. It's great. It's Drop 7 on the iPhone still, but it's Drop 7. I love that game. But here's the thing. This is the coolest thing about this phone, is the way you can use voice to do the navigation. Because I had the Navigon app on my iPhone as a GPS app, and it worked fairly well, but it was sluggish. It took forever to boot. If I got a phone call, it exited out of the app, and which, again, won't happen with this multitasking update. I had to get to a little audio equipment shop in the outskirts of Pittsburgh the other day called Pianos and Stuff. I didn't even know where this was. I literally turned on my phone, held down the search button, a voice prompt came up. I said, navigate to Pianos and Stuff. And I instantly got voice guided, turn by turn, full blown GPS directions that took me right to it. When I got there, the Google Street View image showed me what the building would look like so I didn't drive past it. It was sublime. It's awesome. The App Store is the thing about the App Store I love. You get a 24-hour refund window on the first time you purchase an app.
Although the rest of the App Store sucks, but that is good. You're right.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the gaming on this thing is not on par with the iPhone. I will readily admit.
And it might catch up, but it probably won't. The only other thing I would say is make sure you keep updating.
Wait a second.
What?
No more iPhone games. Thank God.
I plan on selling my old iPhone and getting an iPod Touch.
There you go. Good call.
You're getting an iPad, and I know it.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, right. Yeah, fucking right. You're having an iPad within 6 months.
I'll tell you, I was teetering on the edge of that, and honestly, the thing that convinced me I really don't want was when they said that the iPhone 4.0 software doesn't come out till the fall. Like, what the hell?
We'll see.
Anyway, but yeah, the gaming is not there yet, but the kind of functionality apps, I'm not missing much that I had on my iPad.
And it'll have Flash in like probably about 2 or 3 months, and you can play any Flash game online. So,
but like I have Shazam, I've got Sportacular, I've got Urban Spoon. You know, I mean, I've got all those apps are all on there.
What's your favorite apps? Like, just real quick.
So I'm using Twidroid right now as my Twitter client. I was using Twitter, which I liked. But there were a few things it was missing that really bothered me. It didn't have the ability to do video. It didn't have you could have multiple accounts, but it was all fed in the one timeline. And I have like 6 Twitter accounts I kind of manage, and I didn't want all of them to be just
crammed together
in the same place. Yeah, that was a really weird omission too. I don't know why that was, but like I said, I had it for today. When I realized I didn't like it, I very easily refunded it. Now I got Twidroid. If I don't like that by tomorrow, I'll refund that and try another one. Okay, now Mike, when you listen to this, you have to admit this is cool. Yes, you do. So you know how you said like you got that Pokedex app on your iPhone?
Yes.
But there's like 3 separate apps you really need to get everything?
Yes.
There is a Pokedex app called Pokedroid. It's everything. It is all the Pokemon. It is all their moves. You click on the move. It gives you the move description. It tells you what level they learn the moves, what level they evolve, how they evolve.
Does it tell you where to find them?
You can tell it. No, that is one thing it is missing. But you can tell it which game you're playing, so in case there is any discrepancy, it will adjust that. But here's the cool thing. You can search for a Pokemon by voice. So I could say Charmander, and it will find Charmander. Then I could click a button, and using the voice synthesis in the Android, it will say, Charmander, a fire-type Pokemon.
Ooh.
You know, it is a bashful little creature that's flame will waver when it's happy and not when it's sad, or whatever the description is. It will read that aloud to me. This thing
What's it called? I'm about to download it.
It is a Pokédex, and this thing's free.
Pokédroid, I think.
Is it Pokédroid? Okay, yeah, Pokédex. I got it right here. I'm downloading it right now.
No, wait, I'm a little confused. Yeah. Maybe you explained this when I wasn't listening right now because you bore me. What? Your phone is called a Nexus One, but you have access to the Droid Store?
No, okay, they all run Android.
Here's what I remember. Android is the platform. It's just like Windows is a platform.
It's like Windows Mobile.
There are
used
many
to be.
Phones.
Like Windows Mobile was on all these different phones from all these different companies, and now Android's sort of taking that over. And Android runs on a ton of different things. Just Verizon decided to name their or Motorola named their one the Droid to sort of kind of take that name over and sort of record.
So basically, the big two smartphone things are Android and then whatever Apple uses.
Mm-hmm. And then Windows 7 Mobile is coming, and there's still Palm is kind of hanging on a little bit, but they're fading fast.
Google's thinking about buying Palm.
Yeah, but like the Nexus One, the Droid, the HTC Aris, the HTC Dream, all of these things, they're all Android phones. They all share the App Store. It is kind of splintering the market because there's different hardware out there.
There's going to be tablet PCs that run Android. There's already netbooks that run Android. It's going to splinter even more, but it keeps it interesting. It's completely open. There's nothing that they won't let you do. It's like a pre-broken or pre-jailbroken iPhone.
Yes.
All right, all right. You have to wrap this up now.
Okay. I did get at our campus computer store, I did get a little hands-on time with an iPad this week. Unfortunately, it didn't have any iPad native games on it. It only had iPhone games on it, so I was upscaling like Need for Speed Shift, which looked fine. You could tell it's being upscaled, but as for the device itself, I can speak more to. When you put it in landscape and you have the keyboard, it's not a bad experience. You know, it is almost a full size like notebook keyboard. It's hard, but that's still not having no tactile touch to it. Like I can't type without looking. I have to still look at it, but at least I can like use all my fingers and everything. The way they do that interface now, where like little window panes pop up within like the Mail app or something like that, or the iTunes app, is actually pretty nice. Like using the iPod app in this looks like iTunes. It's kind of neat. I did download the EPP to the demo iPads as well, just for kicks. Again, it's one of those things. Like it's missing just one little thing, and I don't know what it is. To really make me really want one. Like anytime I play with a new gadget, I kind of want it, but I don't end up getting it. And I recognize that's how I feel about this. Like I want one, but I know I'm not going to get one. If there was just a little more to it, I might actually really like be trying to scrounge up $500 to get one somehow right now. But I'm not there. And like I said, the announcement too that the software update's not happening until the fall, which means by then you're probably 6 months away from the version 2 of the iPad coming out anyway. Maybe I'll wait for that and see what they do. It's neat. I'm sure a lot of people are going to love it. And I do understand that a lot of the native apps for it, the games rather, the HD versions of a lot of stuff, are really good. Apparently the Scrabble experience is really fun. When you take Scrabble on the iPad and you put the Tile Rack app onto an iPhone or iPod Touch, where everyone's playing off a Scrabble board on the iPad, their letters are on their iPhone, and you flick the letters off the rack and onto the board and then place them. That's kind
of. I heard that wasn't working though. Like people said, everyone would do one turn and then one of the phones would disconnect and they'd have to start over and then the same thing would happen. But
okay, that's
it'll get figured out. Probably.
I also played more Battlefield Bad Company 2, and it's sweet. When you start running around and shit's blowing up everywhere, it's actually really, really exciting. That's all I really want to say about it.
All right. Did you play anything else?
Wake up.
I'm up. What else you do?
I think that's really all I played.
Jeff, did you play anything you want to talk about this week?
Just New Super Mario Brothers Wii. I guess it's really old now. I'm kind of on the
You're on like a crusade with that game.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to get every single level and get every single star coin before I played any of the level with the World 9 levels. And now I'm mostly done with the World 9 levels, although they're becoming increasingly difficult. And I want to like get all the gold, like star coins on each one of those levels before I move on to the next one. So I'm on like 9-6, and everyone says 9-7 is really, really awful. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know. You know, it's a love-hate relationship. You're like, it's so difficult sometimes, but it's just so much fun. I don't know.
I need to play more of that.
It's so good. Like once you get into like to that mood when you're just doing everything perfectly, but still there's that one thing you can't do. And like I did have one of those moments where I spent 2 hours before I went to sleep trying to do something, couldn't do it. Went to sleep, woke up, and did it on the first try.
I hate that,
but also like there's something about it that it just reminds me of my childhood, so I kind of like it as well.
Yeah, that is true.
I played Pokemon too, but you know you guys talk about that a lot, and I'm not going to say anything new. So. Although I'm stoked to have this Pokédex app on my phone now. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, it's sweet.
I'm going to play with that for like an hour tonight.
I did last night. I played for like 30 minutes. I was like, this is amazing.
Thoughts. I used to have a pretty strict no legendary Pokemon in my party rule. So kind of.
Are you breaking it?
I am, because I got Lugia's pretty cool, you have to all admit. And I wanted Lugia in my party. Plus, Lugia can. I had a water Pokemon that couldn't learn Waterfall, which annoyed me to no end.
That's stupid.
Yeah. And that was one thing that bothered me with Gold Onward. They made like 3 water HMs. So your water Pokemon has to learn all 3 of these HMs. And Surf is the strongest one anyway. So, but, you know, Lugia can learn Waterfall, so I gave that to him.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right. So.
Remember the
I got a shiny Graveler, by the way. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, nice. Was it Ruby and Sapphire were like 50% of all the new Pokemon were water Pokemon?
I think it was. Ruby and Sapphire was the one where they didn't have like any of the old Pokemon in it either. I think.
Yeah, it was really dumb. There's like all these water Pokemon. Also, one thing I did too as I was playing Heart Gold, I always didn't want to do this out of stubbornness, and I finally said, oh, F this. I turned off the battle animations, and it's a lot better.
Really?
Because the game doesn't take 8 years to fight a Rattata that I find in the wild.
As I start playing.
I don't know why I was always like... See, because I'm that kind of guy who like I want my games to look like... You know, as simulatory as they can. It's like, I want to be like, no, this is not a game. I'm actually sending out my, you know, my Totodile to fight, and he's going to shoot that water out because that's what he's doing.
One thing if it looked like he was shooting water
out. I'm not just here to read text. Yeah, but like, you know, I finally just like, oh fuck, I'm just turning it off.
You're basically playing a text game.
Yeah, you are. But once you, like I said, the thing is, I've been playing this since 1998. I know what like water gun looks like. It's okay.
Yeah, like, no matter
I'm over
what,
it. It's not. Black, it's not going to be some impressive special effects.
I really do hope that it's not. You know, let's mess around a little bit with the whole 8 gym leaders, final 4 or whatever they're called, elite 4. Let's mess with that a little bit.
They won't.
Okay, probably not. So I don't want to expect much. Because what's the point? I don't just be disappointed, upset. I'll just have to accept Pokemon for what it is. Give me another new Eevee form. I'll be happy. All right. You guys done there then?
Yeah.
I've been playing the game Read a Book, Star Wars. The Han Solo trilogy. Best Star Wars books ever.
I have that book.
Oh, it's the best.
I never read it or anything. I have it.
Oh, they're the best. The Han Solo trilogy. If you're going to read any like extended fiction in Star Wars, that's the one to do.
The only ones I've read, like, the first few of the New Jedi Order. And the first book is great because Chewbacca gets killed by a moon.
it's really silly. I told all my friends that we went out drinking that night and drank a bunch of Chewbacca. It's pretty awesome.
It's great when you get to tell your friends that story and, like, they're Star Wars fans, but they're not going to read the books. You get to tell them how Chewbacca
dies. Right, exactly, yeah.
That's always a fun night.
It was. It was hilarious. Like, we had, like,
quick
shots.
Aside. Like, a lot of authors write about the extended universe, but I understand they also have to kind of go through the Jedi Holocron or whatever it is. How do you get to be the one who kills Chewbacca? And with that, too. Like, this guy had to go
who,
like, George
Salvatore
Lucas or...
who did it.
Yeah, it's the guy that gets he gets a lot of fruit, right? But I'm sure they...
Yeah, but, like, can you imagine him going up to the people at Lucas and being like, okay, listen. I want to kill Chewbacca, and here's how I'm going
to
do it.
He probably wanted to kill someone higher, and they probably said,
moon.
No, you have to kill someone like a little bit lower down, so he went with Chewbacca.
Yeah, like why would you do that? Like, why would you?
It was probably
that whole series, I'm sure it was. There's a lot of bad things happening. That's why I kind of don't like it. I like the picture, you know, at the end of Return of the Jedi, they saved the galaxy, and everyone was happy. You read these books,
right.
and it's
nothing
like,
else
no, not
happened
so much.
For the rest of their lives. But
right, they were
not.
Happy and whatnot, but no, they were so miserable.
I read halfway through the New Jedi Order. but didn't finish it. Not the first book, like the entire series. Like there's like 18 books or some shit.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And I read up to like Jason, someone dies, Anakin dies or something like that.
Yeah, Anakin dies. And like I heard that and that's, like I heard that happens, that's when I stopped reading it. I'm like, oh, come on.
Wait, Anakin, like Han and Leia's youngest kid, he dies?
Yeah, right.
Oh, what the hell?
Exactly.
I actually read the Young Jedi Order books as a kid. I kind of liked them.
Exactly. It's like, oh, come on.
They were
on.
Pretty good. They actually, yeah. I mean,
I like those. Yeah, I did like the Young Jedi Order.
For what they are.
See, because Young Jedi Orders, that's almost more Star Wars-y to me.
Yeah, they're a little more fun and adventurous.
Right.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's gotten so serious.
It is.
They want to like raise the stakes and stuff like that. And, you know, authors don't want to just, you know, do the same thing over and over again. Sometimes they wanna...
don't make a Star Wars book.
Well, you know, I feel like the New Jedi Order, like they have like a big Bible written out for them by like Steven Sansweet or something. They're like, this is what you can do. This is what's going to happen. You get to just like fill in the blanks. And so they probably just decided on all this stuff. And that's how, at least that's how I imagine it would work because it's so controlled. But I don't know.
That was a really random tangent.
Yeah.
I guess so. I've been playing. I read a book. More. All right.
All right. Let's do some downloads, shall we?
Yeah.
Not much exciting. We Wear Fishy Fishy and Learning with the Pooyus, Episode 2. DSI got Game & Watch Helmet, Game & Watch Furman, Game & Watch Manhole, and Mr. Driller, Drill Till You Drop. Virtual Console has something called Ironclad. I don't know.
All those sound like porn titles. I don't know why.
I know. Xbox Live Game on Demand, Fable 2, even though you could have sort of got it on demand as episodes, and Kung Fu Panda. There was no Xbox Live Arcade release this week. I think they're doing their inventory clear out sale, which, you know, they're running out of room on the server. I don't know.
Didn't some Final Fight remake or something come out?
It's not out. It's coming.
Are we excited about these anymore? It's like almost like it's not quite as cool as it once was. The whole, we're bringing back an old franchise, we're remaking or making a new entry.
Well, they've been hit or miss, but mostly miss.
Right.
Yeah, like
they can't all be Mega Man 9s.
Right. Let's see. PSN, we have on PlayStation 3 the Tapatoy Bundle, the PlayStation 1 Classic XS Airboat Racing. PS Mini Freakscape, the PSP game King of Pool. Also, quick aside, they did cut a lot of prices in the PSP store, and there's some decent stuff. Like, you can get the new MotorStorm for like $20 now. The new Jack and Daxter, I think, is $22. Good. That's not bad. Yeah. Like, Patapon 2 and Loco Roco 2 are $8.
Ooh.
Yeah. Good Old Games got Siberia 2 to go along with Siberia 1 from previously.
I see.
That's it.
Okay. Real games. You hear about this game called Lead and Gold, Gangs of the Wild West?
Oh, fuck off, Red Dead Redemption. I know what I'm playing now.
Toby Davis is talking about this. Basically, it looks like Team Fortress Western.
Oh, it has to be good. God, look at these screenshots. It looks like it's from 2003.
Okay, it's probably not a good looking game. I don't know. It might be interesting. Okay. Oh, that Mass Effect 2 Kasumi Soul Memory DLC came out.
Yeah, I need to check that out. I need to finish Mass Effect 2. I want to finish Mass Effect 2, but life won't let me.
Oh, stop your whining. You can find time. Commando's complete for the PC. The Borderlands double game add-on pack for the PC and 360, so that's basically just, you know, comes with the DLC. Squishy Tank for the DS. Yep, that's it. Not a very exciting week for releases. All right, everybody. We're going to wrap up here. I want a quick announcement. I'm running a contest on Bitmob right now. It's the Draw the Warcraft Hero contest. That's my.
I'm excited to see how this goes.
Right. I got at least one fun entry so far.
I'm gonna enter.
But yeah, good. You better. Yeah, even if you're not eligible to win.
Like, yeah, it's up in the air. I won't accept, but I'm definitely gonna. I just want to draw it. I don't know. I saw it. It sounded like a fun thing to do. So.
Right.
Although I told you, I'm gonna get my brother to do it.
Right. Well, I'm not gonna judge on quality since I can't draw. So it would be unfair to hold others to a higher standard. So the way it works is people draw one, and that gives them an entry into the contest. And, you know, then the grand prize is a random game from Dan Shu's personal collection.
I'm more interested in the runner-up prizes.
Yeah.
The runner-up prizes, I will draw you anything. I'm not sure how much people would like that or not. I might just include that also for the grand prize winner. That should be the feel like that's person something that they loses. Really wanted.
I guess the runner-up is the person that loses. So it's more of a punishment.
But yeah, just go on BitMob.com to find more information about that. It should be fun. Jeff, where can we find you on the internet?
I co-host the Pixel Revolt podcast. You can find that on BitMob. I am also news editor on Combo.com. You can get me there Mondays through Thursdays and other times when news breaks. Like, I probably should have wrote the Pokemon Black and White thing, but I decided to just keep doing this podcast instead, so hopefully someone else did that. But you can also get me on Twitter, Jeff Grubb, at Jeff Grubb, twitter.com/Jeff Grubb. So, yeah.
All right.
I just want to say, too, that if you don't listen to Pixel Revolt, you really should, and particularly in the last episode, it was kind of a PAX episode, and Jeff, you put together a really awesome kind of a Life Well Wasted style piece at the end, just for people hanging out at one of the meetups, and it was really, really well done. So
thanks. Yeah. I really appreciate that. I spent a couple hours the night before we recorded doing that, just kind of editing together, not really sure what would come out of it, but it came out pretty good. I was pretty happy with it. I'm still, you kind of get to the point where you're like, just want to keep going and making it better, but I thought it came out pretty good, so I really do appreciate the compliment.
But your fourth chair sucked on that episode.
Oh, God, I can't stand that guy.
I know.
It was Mike Minotti. So go
that
listen.
Was me. That's the joke.
It was Mike Soares.
Mike, how do you know Mike Soares?
I saw it in a comment today, and you also sang a song about it. Yeah, I think you should sing that song to like play us out.
That's right. That's what like my friends from around here who aren't into the gaming as much. They call me Mike Soares. That's the one person who commented. He's my friend.
Oh, okay.
Who lives in the same town with me, so that's why he said Mike Soares.
That doesn't make sense. The friends that are not into games call you Mike Soares? Because
I talk about it a lot, and they find that whole Zors thing, especially like you know how the whole Zors thing is kind of played out for most people. Yeah. But for them, it's hilarious. I love it still too, personally. All right, guys. You can find more of the Exploding Barrel podcast at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or on the iTunes Music Store or at squadronshame.com. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Bye.